Good day and welcome to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Today we are delighted to be joined once again by acclaimed poet and novelist Catherine Graham to talk about her latest release, The Celery Forest. Catherine, so wonderful to welcome you back to Storylines.
Thanks, Christine. It's lovely to be back.
Catherine, when we last spoke with you, you had just launched your hugely successful first novel, Quarry, and we talked about the transition from writing poetry to prose. And now we have The Celery Forest, which is your sixth collection of poems, launched a couple of months ago by Walsack and Wynn. And we find you back in the territory where you began, which is poetry. The cover of The Celery Forest is a painting by Cora Brittain that inspired the poems that started to come for this collection. So could you just start by sharing that story with us?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. I was diagnosed with breast cancer and I was starting a journey. I had no idea that I'd ever write about it. And there's an art happening here in Toronto called Louis Blanche, and it happens in various places around the world. And my partner and I were out exploring the city. We wandered into the Alonzo Gallery, and I was immediately drawn to the back, and I saw this image of a girl holding an owl. She's wearing a red dress. She was, when you looked closely, you could see that the forest was actually made of celery. So the celery was huge, and she was small, and it just really spoke to me.
And your partner actually purchased it as a gift for you.
He did.
Catherine, what transpired from there in terms of the poetry?
Well, one day I was looking at the painting. Well, it was a mixed media piece, and I started thinking about this girl in a red dress and an owl. And I thought, well, is she holding the owl, or is the owl holding her? There was just a sort of delicate balance to their relationship. And I started sort of playing around with that image of her at the entryway of a giant celery forest, and began writing sort of little scribbles in my notebook, and eventually a poem came out, and that is in the book titled Cancer in the Celery Forest.
I'm going to ask you if you will read that for us now.
I'd be happy to. Cancer in the Celery Forest. Who knew the celery could branch so high? Each stalk, finger stiff. Each canopy, an open umbrella. A girl in red holds an owl, perched on her hand like a concrete thought. There is wisdom within the celery forest. All the dropped stars have faces.
Thank you, Catherine. I just have to take that poem in again. I need
What's
a moment.
That?
I just need a moment with your poem.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's so powerful when a poet reads their poem. It's just, it always, yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, actually.
Okay. Catherine, you have said that The Celery Forest came out of a place we all hope never to have to go, which is a cancer diagnosis. But what made that, I would think, particularly terrifying for you was that this diagnosis came at the same age your own mother was when she passed away from cancer. So that, it gave you some sort of connection that was both unsettling and strangely comforting. And I wonder if you could share how this history repeating itself showed up for you in this sort of mixed way.
Yeah, it's because my mother died of the disease at a young age, I've been vigilant with my breasts and checking. And thankfully, her journey allowed me to find the lump in time. So, and then it was just sort of, again, I find life has so much synchronicity and coincidence pattern to it when you take a look. And at least it has in my life. And I realized that the age that I was the age that she died of the disease.
Mm.
So it's right away, of course, the fact that we were sharing the same illness, the age sort of almost like a strange relay race that she had died then, and then here I was kind of beginning a journey where hers had ended.
Yeah.
And it's always, I think, unsettling too when you outlive your parents. Mm-hmm. There's something strange to the forefront in my mind, in my imagination, and in my dreams. He really accompanied me during this journey, and so she actually had a presence throughout, which actually was lovely because I miss her.
Yes,
so she was sort of partly there, strangely enough.
And that has come out in this work. Your work is always deeply personal, but this was in a different way. You can feel the rawness of these poems.
Well, thank you. I guess, too, it's not like I plan to write about this journey. In fact, sometimes you think there's certain things you can't write about because they're too powerful, but that painting really became a portal. And I've had the opportunity and delight to work with the same poetry editor since I came back to Canada after living in Northern Ireland, and that's Paul Ramirez, who's accompanied me on this journey as well, too. So you could see that this was really a portal as well, and really encouraged me to just explore and allow what creatures came up with the celery forest to have a presence, and also the forest of celery had a presence.
Yeah.
I just sort of let my imagination go into that world. And so even though it was obviously scary, it was also, there's magic as well in a strange way when you go through a journey that is really on the cusp of something. And because you are seeing things in a more pronounced way and your senses are more alert, which is actually a good thing for a writer, I think that that just naturally kind of allowed me and my imagination to just kind of go for it.
There's another story around one of the poems in this collection, the poem called Winter Hill. And when I was reading this, I just loved this story. I just fell in love with this little girl whose mother wrote to you about her daughter's reimagining of the themes from an earlier collection called Winter Hill. So tell us about how this little girl's insight led to the poem Winter Hill.
There's a person that I know who reads poems to her daughter, and in reading them, the daughter particularly, I guess, became a fan of my work, and she really liked the early poems, which loosely formed a trilogy. There was Pupa, my first book, then The Red Element, and then Winter Kill, and she was particularly fond of Winter Kill. And there was, we've never met, but we have this sort of bond through the mother and through our, obviously, I guess, my books. Mm-hmm. And at one point, too, the mother sent me a picture of her daughter with a doll that she called the Catherine Graham doll, because apparently she wanted to know what I looked like. And then when her mother showed me, she said, well, this is my doll, so apparently I'm a doll. And I could walk on water in the bathtub. It'd be amazing. So these were the sort of back and forth things that I was having with the mother. And one day I got this text from her, and she said, oh, did I tell you about my daughter's winter kill idea? She decided, since we drive Perth Road every day and see lots of poor animals who've met a timely end, that there should be an imaginary world, Narnia for ghost animals, and she said she'd call it Winter Hill. I asked where she got it, and she said, Catherine Graham's book, but I changed Kill to Hill, so not to remind them of sad things. So
wonderful.
That text just sparked the sort of, what would this place be like? And eventually came the poem Winter Hill.
And you're going to share that with us, aren't you?
I'd be happy to.
Lovely.
The heat flossing their backs, moon licking the river white. They thrive at night. Born nocturnal, they smell the rub of dew slipping out. To see through darkness blocked by moon, cloud, star. Where is the water? The bullfrog knows. The spring peeper. Their growing chorus itches the air. There is no gate to pass, just a metallic scent they cannot detect. What hits, kills. Curled into carcass, rot, on beds of gravel and dirt, they lie, ready to receive a birth of fly and maggot. But the lifting fog is a trail coming from the non-soul's heat. The organs stop. all instinct from inside them now furring air with whitish veil, shadow's trick of weight. Here is where the dead live on, ghost animals, in a world called Winter Hill. They become a floating pond, a threshold of in-between, moist portal where water finds water and fixes to air. There, there.
Thank you, Catherine. You're listening to Catherine Graham reading to us from her latest collection, The Celery Forest. This is Christine Cowley, your host for Storylines. Catherine, we're just going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, I'd like to ask you about the image of the quarry, which reappears in this collection. When I say those words to you, I almost have to put caps on the words, you know, because it seems to continue to be a major theme in your work. And I'd like to explore that with you when we come back from the break.
That sounds great.
And I'm going to ask you to read another poem for us. So listeners, stay tuned. You're listening to The Bay, 88.7 FM. This is Storylines. I'm Christine Cowley. And our guest today is poet and novelist Catherine Graham. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Storylines on The Bay, 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Our guest today is poet and novelist Catherine Graham, who's back speaking with us about her latest release, a poetry collection called The Celery Forest, published by Walsack & Wynn under their Buckwriter Books imprint. And Catherine, we've just really enjoyed in our first half of today's show your reading of two poems from the collection. And I was asking just before the break about the image of the quarry and how your novel called Quarry, this image continues to be a major theme in your work. So I wonder if, before we talk about that image, if you'll read your poem, I Dream I Leave the Quarry Again, and then we'll talk some more about that image.
Sure, okay. I dream I leave the quarry again. I don't know how, but again I own it. The land surrounded water and stone. Hub of blue or ice mason, always fish heavy. The drowned down there, machinery flush with algae, having long made the man-made mine. A room to dive into or skate shakily across. An eye of moist or a tight-lipped mouth. Weather-sensitive, the wait for air to take lead. White cap rough or opal smooth. Tree cloud illusion, a mirror you walk on, to sink, to be immersed, hold your dreaming breath, then come back up, come up.
And that's Catherine Graham reading I Dream I Leave the Quarry Again from her latest poetry collection, The Celery Forest. Thank you for reading that for us, Catherine.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm always so, I guess, amazed at the sort of sense of wonder you get when you first hear a poem read by the poet, because it's different than what you heard in your head. And so you almost, like, you almost really, you have to take a moment to pause, right?
Right, yeah. Well, that's great, because to me, that's why I love poetry, because when it hits me in such a way, it goes deep and it is something you almost have to, like, recover from in a way when it does that.
Yeah. So this image, the quarry, continues to be a theme in your work, Catherine. And I wonder, what is it about the image of the quarry, the meaning, the symbolism of the quarry that pushes you to continue exploring it?
Yeah, it's not necessarily something I've planned. Mm. It actually is something that works into my imagination and has a continual presence. So I've just almost surrendered to it. Mm. In all of my poetry books and, of course, my novel. And I think, too, there's so many things going on with that image. First of all, it's a man-made landscape. It's a scar, yet at the same time, there's beauty in it. And the scar heals itself by, well, releasing an inner spring. So that hole is actually filled with water, which is healing.
Mm.
And yet, at the same time, the water looks like it can be clear, but can only see so far down, and then what's beneath there is also alive and lurking, and what we don't see has a presence, but we don't necessarily know what we are looking at. So there's illusion there and mystery. So there's so many things that are part of what I think the poetic process is in that image. Mm-hmm. And I'm also interested, too, in the layers of our own lives that we all kind of carry a quarry within us, like the subterranean world that is kind of like our past as we move through our present. So we have this sort of presence within us, like our own quarry. And again, quarry is also core, as in heart. So the French word heart is the core of us as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a life and a presence, like a heartbeat.
Hmm. Now, in Quarry, your novel, you showed us how grief smashes things and at the same time opens doors. And I think we see something similar in many of the poems in The Celery Forest, where a cancer diagnosis becomes a doorway into a huge shift in perspective. And you have said it's where big things become small and small things become big. And I wonder if that was one of the truths or insights you wanted to communicate in this collection.
Yeah, I think too, there's so much power in an image. And I think I love the image too, to sort of communicate in a way that it's not only sort of what I'm thinking as a poet or tapping into based on my intuition and what I can as with my skill and craft at this stage, but also allowing the reader to enter in with their own journey and their own connection to the imagery, so that there's so many layers that can come from that, and then that energy will be part of the journey of the reader as well as has been for me, the writer. So there's this almost letting go once the book is done and the poems are out on their own doing their thing, and they're no longer yours anymore. They become hopefully the readers, because books is such an intimate art, and I really think it's a one-on-one, one poem at a time experience, not necessarily to reach all of the masses, but to hit someone at that core, that quarry, there's that word quarry, is a beautiful thing, and I know that that's what the poets that I love have given me, that sort of knock that just kind of takes you out of yourself and puts you back in, but you change from some new perspective or feeling or connection. That is also a familiar thing as well, too, about being human.
And you found that that perspective that you gained facing this enormous crisis was somehow a mirror image of that change in perspective we get from poetry.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, as I said earlier about my mother, my last book was titled Her Red Hair Rises with the Wings of Insects, and my mother had red hair, so she has also appeared not always directly as mother, but also just even the image of red and red hair, so she's been a thread throughout my sort of creative life as a poet and writer as well, and I think, again, because she had gone through that journey, she was with me, and I was thinking, I'm going through some of the very, very things that my mother went through, and it was, as I say, there was comfort in that, despite the pain and the unknown and the terror that comes with the unknown of a cancer diagnosis, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, you are listening to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM, and today we're speaking with poet and novelist Catherine Graham. Catherine, listeners can buy this collection, The Celery Forest, at Walsack & Wynn website, which is www.walsackandwynn. I'm going to spell it out, WOLSAKANDWYNN.ca. And can they still get a copy of Quarry, Catherine?
They can cut copies of Quarry. It's available at bookstores, Queen Books in Toronto, U of T Bookstore. You can get it through Amazon and also the Two Wolves Press website as well. I believe Indigo have a few copies. And so it's certainly out there and available to order online. And so if readers do have any trouble there, they can always email me or our publisher and sort things out, because we really want to connect to our readers.
Super. Now, they can email you, and I also want to let them know that they could go to your website to find out more about your events and readings, because holy moly, you have a punishing schedule, it seems to me. It's just like a whirlwind. Every time I check on Facebook, you're presenting somewhere, you're reading somewhere. It's like, holy moly, when does this girl ever have time to sleep or eat?
All an illusion.
So give us your website, Catherine.
Yeah, they may visit the website, www.catherinegraham.com, and that's CatherineGraham, GRAHAM. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram as Cat Graham Poet. Find me there as well, too.
Great. And just before we say goodbye, Catherine, because we have to wrap up, I just want to get a bit personal, if you don't mind, and say that I did read that you were given the all clear just before the Celery Forest was released.
Yes. Again, the sort of way that in my life has had patterns and synchronicities. When Her Red Hair Rises with the Wings of Insects going to the printers, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And when Celery Forest was going to the printers, I received word from my oncologist that I was free from the disease, that the cancer was gone, and that the treatment had allowed me to be out of the journey for now, and keeping, hopefully, that journey for now will continue.
Yeah. We're going to be looking forward to more work from you. Can you tell us what you're working on now?
Yes, I'm working on something that will come out in 2020, and that'll be announced soon. I'm also working on more poems and a second novel.
Wonderful. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure, Christine. Happy to be back, and I'd come back anytime.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in this morning to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. Today we have been enjoying listening to and speaking with poet and novelist Catherine Graham. I'm Christine Cowley, and you can catch us in two new time slots, Saturday mornings around 8 a.m. and Wednesday nights around 11 p.m. And we will keep on talking to authors and book folks about books and the writing life. Please join us again.